college football championship has ended, and that was a very good game. Did you watch the game between Alabama and Clemson? I was for Alabama. How many of you were for Alabama? Anybody? Okay, a few. Clemson, not many. Clemson won the game. It was a great game. At the very end, if you saw that, Dabo Swinney, the coach of Clemson, gave a great interview. And the reporter said to him, "Coach, you seem so happy all the time. Even, of course, they never lose, but even if you were to lose, you see," he said, "you just always seem so joyful." And the coach said, "You know, I have learned in my life the secret of joy." He said, "J-O-Y, put Jesus first, put other people second, put yourself last." And I thought, wow, on national television, the head coach of the winning team gave a good witness like that. I thought, well, maybe I should have been for them instead of being for Alabama. And then we've had the NFL playoffs. How many of you are following that? Anybody? You were following it until the Texans got bounced out of it. I don't get to watch all the games, but I like to watch as much as I can, bits and pieces. And then at night when I get home, I like to keep up with it, who won and how did it go on. But if you're an NFL fan, you know that this season has had some great stories. For example, the Texans started 0-3, ended up winning the division. Now they got put out, but they had a great season. The Cowboys, I know this is not cowboy country, but we were 3-5. We have a cowboy table back there that has been put to the back of the room, but they ended up winning the division and got beat out the other night by the Rams. One of my favorite stories in the NFL, going back to last year, is the Philadelphia Eagles. And if you follow that, last year the backup quarterback ended up playing because the starter got hurt. And Nick Foles is his name, and ended up winning the Super Bowl, won the MVP. He himself is a great Christian and has given a great witness for the Lord. And they made it all the way to the divisional round last week, and then they got beat. So the whole season has been interesting. One of the most interesting stories to me in the NFL is the Indianapolis Colts, who actually did beat our Houston Texans. But they started the season 1-5, ended up making the playoffs, only the third team in the history of the NFL to have that bad of a start to end up in the playoffs. And if you know anything about that team, you know that their head football coach is a guy named Frank Reich. And I think we may have a picture of Coach Reich. There he is right there. And if you are a football fan, and if you're not, just indulge me for a few minutes and I'll get to the sermon. But this is a tremendous illustration. Back in the 1980s, Frank Reich went to the University of Maryland. And for 3 years, he was the backup quarterback to Boomer Esiason. Boomer now is on the talk shows, but he was a great quarterback. But when Frank Reich became a senior, Boomer had graduated, gone to the NFL, and so now Frank Reich was the starting quarterback for Maryland. Well, during that season, he got injured, and he thought, "Lord, what is the deal? I've waited all these years to be the quarterback. Now I am, and now I'm hurt." And he said to God, he said, "God, what are you doing to me?" And he said as he worked through that process, God revealed to him, not that God had caused his injury, but God spoke to Frank Reich and said, "Frank, the problem is you have made football your God. And I didn't cause you to get hurt, but now that you are hurt, it's going to let you reprioritize your priorities in your life." And so it was a real spiritual turning point for him at that young age. Graduated from Maryland, drafted by the Buffalo Bills, and played most of his career for Buffalo as the backup quarterback to Jim Kelly. Now, if you know anything about the NFL back in the 1990s, you know the Buffalo Bills had a very good team. In fact, it was the Bills back in 1993 who beat the Houston Oilers after the Houston Oilers had blown a 35-3 lead. Do you remember that game, playoff game? Jim Kelly got hurt. Frank Reich came in. The Bills end up winning that game 41-38. And the next thing we know, the Houston Oilers are in Nashville. They got kicked right out of town for losing that game like that. But for all of his years in Buffalo, he was a backup quarterback. So his whole deal in life has been, "I've always been a backup. I never have felt like I was the main person." After they had lost those four Super Bowls in a row, and after one of those losses, he was so discouraged that he was listening to a Christian radio station or a CD or something one day, and he heard the Christian song "In Christ Alone" by Michael English. And he said God used that to become another real turning point in his life to say to him, "Frank, I know you're the backup quarterback. I know your team has lost four straight Super Bowls. And I know that your career is not turning out like you hoped it would. But it's okay. It's on my schedule. It's how I want it to be." Well, as he was coming to the end of his NFL career, he ended up playing for the Carolina Panthers. And while he was with Carolina, in the off season, he ended up taking seminary classes at Reformed Theological Seminary there in the Charlotte area, I think, is where he was taking classes. And he was already saved, but he just felt like God might be calling him to some kind of ministry. He goes through school, he graduates from that seminary, and he ends up becoming the president of Reformed Theological Seminary. And for 3 years, he was the president of that school. After that three-year time, he thought, you know, being a president of a school, there's a lot of administration, a lot of that type stuff. And he said, I'm not finding fulfillment doing all these meetings and details and fundraising. And so he said, maybe what God wants me to do is pastor a church. And so he became an interim pastor of a church for about a year or so. And while he enjoyed that experience, he said, this was not for me. I love God, I love the church, but pastoring a church is not what God wants me to do. And so he ends up going back into football. And he becomes an assistant coach. And in fact, he was the assistant coach at one time for the Indianapolis Colts. He was wide receivers coach. He ends up getting fired there, goes to Philadelphia. He got some assistant job there, led them as the offensive coordinator to win the Super Bowl last year. And then, if you ever watch ESPN late at night and keep up with these things, you know that at the end of last year's season, I know y'all are thinking, John, if you would pray more and study more, you wouldn't know all this about the sport. I know. I'm getting myself in trouble by telling you all this football trivia. But at the end of last season, the Indianapolis Colts fired their coach, and they tried to hire a coach named Josh, the assistant at New England. They hired him. He accepted the job, and then he turned it back down and said, I don't want a job. I want to stay in New England. Frank Reich was the second choice of Indianapolis. They hired him to be the head coach. The interesting thing, last week, where I'm getting a lot of this information, Jimmy Herwick gave me this article here about Frank Reich that you just saw his picture. And the whole thing is about his whole life has been, he's been a backup quarterback, and most every good job he's had, he wasn't the first choice. He was the second choice. The teams wanted somebody else, and they ended up getting him. But the title of the article says, Colts Coach Shows That All Callings Matter. And so I read this last week, and I was so interested in, and really the nutshell of this, he says, in the world in which we live, we tend to make an unnecessary and a wrong distinction between the sacred and the secular. In other words, sometimes we think if somebody is a pastor or a preacher or a missionary, you know, then they're out there, they're serving God. Their life counts for God. But if somebody's a football coach or if somebody's the president of a school or if somebody's a banker or a teacher or a nurse or a coach or a plumber or a painter or an engineer or if somebody works at a plant or if somebody has some type of job that's not, quote, sacred, it's not in the ministry, it's not at the church, then they're just kind of doing whatever it is they want to do and it's got nothing to do with God. And the whole purpose of this article, Coach Reich was saying, that's wrong. He's saying all callings matter. Whatever it is that you do in life, it matters. And this distinction we make between the sacred and the secular, it's a wrong distinction because if you're saved, everything is sacred. And so God doesn't call everybody to be preachers and missionaries. He calls some people to do that. But God calls other people to do different things. And so when I read that the other night, and I began thinking about it, and I began thinking about that I was going to be speaking today, I thought, Lord, I don't know how I turned that into a sermon, but it is such a good thought. In fact, I feel like what I have today, this thought, all callings matter. Whatever you do, if you're a housewife, that matters. That's if you're a stay-at-home mom, that's probably the most important job in the world. And sometimes a person could look at that and say, well, what I do doesn't matter. I'm not preaching. I'm not doing those things. If you're doing what God called you to do, then it does matter. So open your Bibles, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 1. I want to show you two verses today, one at the beginning and one at the end. As we think about the fact that all callings matter, whatever you're doing in life, you are no less a servant of God teaching school than if you were doing something that you might consider, you know, more spiritual. It's all spiritual. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. First thing I want you to see is before you were born, God had a plan for your life. Now, His plan for your life is probably different than His plan for my life. He may have wanted you to be a policeman or a firefighter or who knows what. But look at this verse, Jeremiah 1:5. God said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations." And so God was saying to Jeremiah, "Listen, Jeremiah, long before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb, I knew that you would be born, and I had a plan for your life. I had something very special that I wanted you to do with your life." Now, in his case, it was to be a prophet. We would say to be a preacher. But what I'm saying is, what was true of Jeremiah is true for all of God's children. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. So your responsibility and my responsibility is to try to find whatever it is that God wants us to do. You say, "Well, John, this is a good thought, but you should be preaching this sermon to like 20-year-olds in college who are trying to figure out what to major in, what to do with their life." Well, what I'm saying today would certainly fit to a group of college students, but it fits with us too. Yesterday, I had the privilege of meeting with a man who had worked in industry for over 30 years, a very high-ranking job in industry. He retired from that when he was 55 years of age and took a very good job at San Jack. And he was way high up in that great school's ladder, right at the top, actually, or towards the top. And he has just now retired from there. And I was meeting with him yesterday. I said, "Now, you've moved from industry to education. I said, what are you going to do now?" And he was telling me, he said, "You know, I've been trying to figure that out." And he said, "But I've been thinking there's some things that I want to do." He said, "I want to get my pilot's license. I want to do..." He had these things that he feels like maybe God is leading him to do. So here's a man, I think he said he's 66 years old, and yet he still realizes for the next season of his life, God has a purpose, God has a plan, and so he's trying to find out what that plan is. One pastor said a long time ago, it is our solemn duty to find, to follow, and to finish the will of God for our lives. That is a very important part of your life, whether you're 20 or 60 or 80. You need to say, "God, what is it that you want me to do with my life right now?" We want to find that, we want to follow that, and then we want to finish that. We want to come to the end of our life doing what God has called us to do. I look back here today. I don't want to embarrass Brother Roland Hill, but I see him and Mary Ann sitting back there today. Let me tell you a brief story. Roland now is 85 years of age. He's been retired from our church for 20 years. He worked here for over 30, been retired for 20, has been just as faithful in his retired years as he was when he was on staff. This past Sunday, he was teaching his Sunday school class, and right in the middle of the lesson, he felt a little lightheaded and ended up passing out. And so medical team goes and gets with him and starts doing what they can. And I guess they called an ambulance, and he was taken to the hospital, and they're running tests and trying to figure out what's going on with him. And so Sunday afternoon, my dad and I said, "We want to go check on Brother Roland. He's our minister. We want to help check on him today." And so we went to Patients Hospital to check on Roland, got in there, and he was in his room all hooked up to the heart machines, and they were running the tests. And as it turns out, they think the problem was some medication that he had been taking caused his blood pressure to drop, and that's why he passed out. But we went in there, and Roland had his white shirt on that he had been teaching the class in, and of course he had it unbuttoned before they hook up all of his stuff to his shirt, and he just the same Roland, positive, upbeat, going to just be fine. He said, "I'm just ready to get out of this hospital, you know." And Dad and I walked out, and we were going back to the car, and I one of us said to the other, "You know, Roland is amazing. 85 years of age, and he's still serving the Lord and still doing everything he can for God." And I just thought, you know, Roland, I want to say this to you. The first thought that ran through my mind when I got the report on Sunday, because the first report I got was not good at all. I mean, I thought, "Oh my gosh, what has happened to Roland?" And then this thought ran through my mind. You know what? If this was Roland Hill's time to go to heaven, there's nothing he would rather be doing than down at the church teaching people the Bible. But I want to say to you, Roland, I'm glad it wasn't your time. I'm glad you got a lot of years to go and that you're here today, man. You just look fantastic. But see, way long ago, he found God's will for his life. He's been following God's will for his life. And out there, 20 years from now, when he's 105, he's going to finish God's will for his life and going up to heaven. But so what the point is, we just need to figure that out. Now, I want to show you one other verse in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. This is a tremendous verse. Again, whatever your profession is, whatever you do with your life, it is sacred and it has spiritual significance. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 31, look at this. It says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. What it doesn't matter. I'm not saying it doesn't matter what you do. It does matter in the sense that you're supposed to be doing what God wants you to do. But once you're doing that, think about this. If you feel like that God years ago somehow has led you to be a painter, okay? You just for whatever reason, you got into the painting business. And you think, man, my job doesn't have any real significance. Well, if you're doing what God wants you to do, it does. If God has led you to be a painter, you would have to get out of God's will to be a preacher. You're in God's will doing what you're doing now. And so the scripture says, whatever you do, it doesn't matter. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So I want to just mention at the end today, three things. Whatever your profession is, whatever you do out there, I would encourage you, first of all, to do it with excellence. Do it the best you can. Now, excellence is not perfection. None of us are perfect. But do it as excellently as you can. Number two, I would encourage you to do it with enthusiasm. You know, there's no substitute for enthusiasm. And I heard a pastor say one time that he believed that the one thing missing in many churches today is enthusiasm. He said the preachers are not even enthusiastic. He said it is the blah leading the blah instead of the blind leading the blah. The blah leading the blind. And so we need to have enthusiasm. I was reminded of this about a month and a half ago. I had gone down to have lunch one day at the Cracker Barrel down on 45 and got there, and it was real busy at the time I got there. And so I gave the lady, she said, how many? I said, well, it's just me. And she said, what's your name? And I told her, and she said, okay. She wrote it down. She said, it's going to be about 20 minutes and we'll call you. I think they tell everybody that so you go to the gift shop, right? The 20 minutes. So I liked the gift shop, and I went in there, and I was just kind of looking. I had really no intention of buying anything, but I thought, well, I got 20 minutes. Might as well look it over. And I got over to the house shoes section, and I got looking at these house shoes because the day before I had spent, well, I had received, I think, for my birthday, a gift certificate, a gift card to a department store, and I went and spent way too much money on a pair of house shoes. And so I thought, well, I bought a pair of house shoes yesterday at that store. I'm going to see what Cracker Barrel sells their house shoes for. And I looked at it, and theirs only cost $15. And I had paid $50 the day before on that card. And so all of a sudden, I'm thinking, I made a mistake on those shoes. So I thought, I'm going to just try these on. And I was getting them out of the box to try on. This lady from Cracker Barrel that works there came over to me. She said, sir, let me help you with that. She said, it's not easy to try, take your shoes off, put these shoes on. They've got tags and everything. She said, these shoes, I'm telling you, are the most comfortable house shoes in the whole world. She was very enthusiastic about it. She said, in fact, my father lives up near Washington, D.C., and she said, I'm going to be mailing him some of these for Christmas. They're incredibly comfortable. She said, there are two types. If you'll notice, there are two designs of house shoes. One have all that wool in there that's real thick, that sheepskin type stuff. She said, listen, in Houston, you don't need it. It's too hot for that. She said, this other kind is smooth, and she said, try it on. This lady got him out of the box, and then she did something I've never seen anybody done. She got down on her knees and bent over, and she said, you use my shoulder to support yourself while you're putting those shoes on. And I said, no, ma'am, I'm not going to do that. I'll be fine. She said, no, I want you to do it. I thought, I'm a young man. What is she doing? So anyway, I did. I braced myself. I put those shoes on. She said, walk around. I walked around. She said, how do you like them? I said, man, these are the most comfortable shoes I ever had in my life. She said, you got to buy them. And she sold them to me. I ate the meal. I went home, got my other shoes. This was on a Sunday afternoon. Went to the department store, returned. I nearly missed church that night, swapping shoes out. But the thing that sold me those shoes, yeah, they were cheaper. Yes, they were the color I wanted. They were black. Yes, they were comfortable. But I think the clincher was that lady's enthusiasm. She was so excited that I got in on it, and I bought those shoes. I just about every day can't wait to get home, put my house shoes on at night, put those things on my feet. What I'm saying, and in fact, I called, they've got a number. I said to the manager when I left, I said, sir, I just want to tell you, this lady, and I forgot her name now, but I knew it then. I said, she is fantastic. I told him that story. And he said, I tell you what to do. On your receipt, there's a phone number. He said, if you will call that number and give a good report, it'll help her, and you may get a free meal. And when he said that, I called him. And I left like a 5-minute message bragging on that girl and got her a raise, and I hadn't heard back from Cracker Barrel yet. So I didn't benefit from that, but hopefully she will. But it was her enthusiasm. You know, I would say this. If you're in a job and you've lost your passion and you've lost your enthusiasm, now, you know, you have to let God sort all this out. I would encourage you either get your passion back in your job or find another job. Because life is too short to go through it dreading every day, being in a bad mood, being down. Find something that you like to do. Try to do it with excellence. Try to do it with enthusiasm. And remember this, you're doing it unto the Lord. It doesn't matter. This article I read is so right. All callings matter. And even if you're retired, that calling matters too. And so as you go back to your home today or back in the community today or wherever you're going from here today, whatever you do, as best as you can, do it with excellence, do it with enthusiasm, and do it as unto the Lord, and you will make God proud. Amen? Father, we thank you for the fact that all callings matter, no matter what we do. As long as we're doing what you want us to do, God, it matters. It has spiritual significance. And so as we go from here today, God, help us to do our jobs with excellence, with enthusiasm, and as unto you. Is our prayer in Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen and amen.